This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad that you've joined us today. If you're joining us for the first time, let me welcome you to our program. The More Abundant Life features the music ministry and the spoken word ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And again, as your host today, I want to wish you a warm welcome to our program. Please stay tuned because we have some very, very interesting things to share with you during our program today. Today's message is going to center around the Bible character Gideon. You may have read about Gideon or heard stories about Gideon. Today, Pastor Phipps is going to present a message featuring the Bible character Gideon. So stay tuned. It's going to be very, very entertaining and interesting. Before we get into the message for the day, however, here is some music. A song entitled Just Keep On Climbing by Wintley Phipps.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply, He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in His mind. He'll bring that brighter day.
We just heard a wonderful song by Wintley Phipps entitled Just Keep On Climbing. That song is from the CD release entitled The Sun Will Shine Again by Wintley Phipps. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. And we're going to begin the message now, the message that Pastor Phipps has prepared for us on the Bible character Gideon. As we have done from time to time, we've divided this message into two parts because of the time restrictions we have here on our 30-minute program format. So we're going to hear part one of the program today on Gideon and the message today on Gideon. Stay tuned. At the end of the message, I will have some more information for you. But just now, let's get to the message and what Pastor Phipps has to say about Gideon.
The book of Judges, chapter 6. And I want to just read a couple of verses to begin. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them." Thank God for His word. From time to time, the Lord would raise up faithful men and women to stand up against the tide of evil that threatened to sweep over the nation of Israel. They were men and women who, through their faith and faithfulness, would put down idolatry and deliver Israel from her enemies. They are the heroes in God's faith hall of fame. With the passing of Joshua, the nation of Israel seemed to lose their way. Under his leadership, the Canaanites were crushed. For a time, God raised up Deborah and Barak. You remember them. They delivered Israel from the oppression of the general Sisera. But as time passed, God's people began again to mingle amongst the heathens. They adopted their customs. They learned their ways. God's people abandoned the worship of the one true God and turned again to idolatry. They worshiped the God of Baal, God's people. They exchanged their simple habits that made them strong for worldly customs that made them weak. And because they lived in open defiance to God's will, they became separated from God's strength. And soon the very nations they were supposed to subdue began to subjugate and conquer them. Judges 2:12 says, "They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. They provoked him," they provoked God, "to anger." Oh, I don't want to ever be in that place. "They provoked him with their high places." Those were places of worship to gods, other gods. "Moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Therefore the Lord forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh," have mercy, "delivered his strength into captivity." That's a very profound statement. That God, and they are sobering words, that God, in order to chasten his own people, delivered his glory into the hands of the enemy. And Judges 2:11, "They began to worship Baal throughout the land, Judges 2:12, they turned away from the Lord altogether, forgot about the God of their fathers. 13, verse 13, they not only worshiped Baal, the God whom they believed would make their fields more fertile, but they also worshiped Astarte, the goddess of love and war. And verse 14, so of Judges 2, the Lord did what? Removed his protection from Israel, allowed thieves to attack their villages, robbed them, permitted their enemies to attack and destroy the city. When the people did gather enough courage to fight, they lost. And in verse 16, it tells us, and I'm reading from the Clear Word Bible, one of my favorite versions, because the Lord was not on their side. That is exactly what God had said would happen, because the children of Israel wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God is compelled because of our own conduct to leave us to our own devices. Sometimes because of our own sinful choices, God finds it necessary to withdraw from fellowship with us. It is to me a great mystery of faith that though forsaken by God, we are not and are never forgotten by him. I am comforted by this thought, that even when God hides his face from me, he can't forget me. Even though I stumble through the wreckage of my own sin, even though at times I must pay for the consequences of my own sin, even though sometimes God is compelled because of our own treachery and iniquity to forsake us, I'm glad and I'm honored to be able to announce to you this morning that God cannot forget you. Sometimes you may have to fight the enemy alone. Sometimes it may seem like God has gone contrary to his character and refuses to come to your rescue. Sometimes, as the prophet says, the heavens will seem like brass above you. And you'll wonder even if your prayers are getting through. The Bible tells us when we cherish iniquity in our hearts, God does not hear our prayers. Oh, but even when God isn't listening to my prayers, he can't forget me. Hallelujah. And even sometimes when I failed in church, that's the only kind of prayer I know how to pray. Lord, I feel like you've left me. I know you can't forget me. I know you've left me, but I know you can't forget me. For you said in your word, can a woman forget her suckling child? Can she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Brothers and sisters, in the book of Judges it says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them, chapter 6, verse 1, into the hand of Midian for how many years? 7 years. Finally, Israel's enemies had the upper hand. They won by default. God's people failed to do his will, and now the Midianites and the Amalekites were in charge of them. The Midianites and the Amalekites, remember, in the days of Moses, they were almost totally wiped out by Israel. And now, given their chance, they sought revenge. They wanted to pay back Israel for all they believed had been done to them. This was their opportunity. God had lifted his hedge of protection, and the Midianites and the Amalekites were now able to attack, oppress the people of God. They plundered their farms and cattle, left the land and people desolate. No longer did Israel enjoy the protecting hand of God. The Midianites swept into Israel, completely conquered God's people, took over. They overran Israel, ran them out of town, so to speak. The Bible says the Israelites had to find shelter in caves. I'll give you an idea. The Midianite army was 135,000 strong. The Bible says they were like locusts everywhere. When 135,000 men camp on your farm, on your land, there's not much food left when they are gone. And Judges 6:4 tells us, says, if you've got your Bibles, turn. Judges 6, verse 4, look at that. It says, they encamped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth. Lord have mercy, till thou come unto Gaza. Left what? What they leave Israel? No sustenance, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. They ate everything. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, they came as grasshoppers. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy. In verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, as grasshoppers for a multitude. They came swarming into the land with their flocks and herds and pitched their tents. Church, there was nothing God's people could do to stop them. The people of Israel wanted God to help, but they weren't ready to turn from their wicked ways. Some of us are like that. We want God to help us, but we want to hang on to our bad habits. Are you with me today? Yes. We want God to help us, but we will not stop cursing. Want God to help us, but we're just as profane. Want God to help us, want God to protect us, but we don't want to do what he tells us we must do to receive his protection. The servant of the Lord says, faith is not like presumption. Faith claims God's promises and brings forth fruit in obedience. Presumption claims God's promises too, but uses them as Satan did to excuse sin. And then look at verse 8, thus saith the Lord, I brought you up out of Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Verse 9, delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all of them that oppressed you. In verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not. You've not what? It's something to call on the Lord and then have him say, but you have not obeyed me. You want me to assist you, but you won't listen to me. And we as human beings don't like to be reminded by God that we have not obeyed his voice. We don't like to be reminded where we failed the Lord. We like to gloss over that. People of God, however, in their distress, began to confess their sin. God's people were starving, and you know, sometimes a few hunger pains can bring you to your senses. Are you with me today? And the Lord God heard their prayers and chose a man through whom their deliverance would come. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews. Their lives were all different. They were kings and commoners, white collar, blue collar, rich, poor, high class, low class, young, old. They were all different except in one way. They were men and women of faith. Of what?
Faith.
Turn to that person next to you and say, they were men and women of faith. Of faith. Now in this crisis, God had to find a man of faith. And to find a man of faith, God didn't go looking in the great centers of learning. He didn't want a professor. He wanted a man of
faith.
He didn't go looking at the great military academies. He didn't want a man of strategy. He wanted a man of
faith.
God didn't go to earth's kingly courts, to the statesmen of that day. He wasn't looking for a politician. He was looking for a man of
faith.
Instead, he went down. God went down to the wheat fields. God went down to the farm to find a man of faith. You see, God has the address of every faithful soldier, even the ones who live on the farm. You see, with God, it's not your learning, it's not your pedigree, it's your faith that matters. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With God, it's your faith that matters. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your position, your wealth, doesn't matter where you were born. We had a friend that took him to see where my wife grew up. My wife grew up on the rough side of town, and as we were driving, he was just shaking his head. He said, "And you actually tell people you from here?" With God, it doesn't matter. It's your faith that pleases God. If you ask the trained, the erudite to the world, it seems like God usually goes looking for faith in all the wrong places. But God knows as long as there's faith, he can equip you. Are you with me today? As long as you've got faith, he can outfit you for battle. As long as there's faith, he can coach you. He can instruct you. He can teach you. He can guide you. As long as you've got faith, God knows as long as there's faith, he can empower you. As long as there's faith, he can use you. As long as you've got faith, he can get you ready for any battle. And so God went down to the farm looking for a man of faith. And there he found Gideon threshing wheat. You see, when God's people were near starvation, Gideon had set aside a small quantity of wheat for himself and his family, and he had taken it to the vineyard to thresh the wheat in the wine press. Now that is something that doesn't make sense. Don't overlook that. He was there because the Midianites, he figured, wouldn't find him and wouldn't see what he was doing. You see, at first glance, threshing wheat on a wine press, that's like cooking in a closet. That's like playing baseball in a swimming pool. In Gideon's time, wheat was threshed by beating it with a stick to knock the grains off the stalk. It had to be done in the open. Wine presses, on the other hand, were sunk into the ground. So Gideon was down in a wine press threshing wheat. He was so afraid of the Midianites. You remember, they ate everything. Amen? So he didn't want them to see him getting a little wheat off the stalk. So as he threshed the wheat in secret, he was thinking about Israel's glorious past. He was thinking of how dark the future looked. He thought about how they were under oppression. And brothers and sisters, you may ask, why would God want to help people who would diss him? Why would God want to help somebody who would say, "Stand aside, we're going after Baal"? But God wanted to help his people, and he went down to the farm. He found a hero, and now Gideon was not a ruler. He was not a priest. According to the text, Gideon said, "I'm the least in my father's house." Gideon did not select one who was, how can I say this? Gideon was not one who was born to lead. I believe God, if God had not called Gideon, because the call of God on your life changes everything. Yes. Hallelujah. I believe if God hadn't called Gideon, he probably would have threshed wheat all his life. But sometimes, you know, I feel that way myself. I feel sometimes if God had not called me and pulled me out of the land of my birth, I would have grown up to become the mighty Phipps. I would have been a Calypsonian. But I'm so glad he called me. Amen? When God called Gideon, everything changed. And when God called me, everything changed. "Lord, why me?" said Gideon. "I'm the baby, the child, the last born. I'm from an insignificant family. I'm from an unimportant tribe." I know that mighty Phipps went over some of your heads. Amen. But I want you to know, God always knows the best man or woman for the job. Church, God doesn't always choose the one with the most talent. I, like many of you, have found out the hard way. Have you ever looked at somebody just oozing with talent and said, "That's the person we ought to get to do this job"? And you put them in that job? Amen? and you find out that when all is said and done, more was said than was done. Huh? I, like many of you, find out the hard way that sometimes the most talented people are often the most unreliable. And I would rather have the right spirit in someone God can teach than the wrong spirit in someone who knows it all. Believe me, when you can find talent that is teachable as well as dependable and dependent on God, that's a treasure. Servant of the Lord tells us the Lord does not always choose for his work men of the greatest talents, but he selects those whom he can best use. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Individuals who might do good service for God, and if they faithfully perform the duties of their humble position, cherishing a willingness to labor.
Well, that's all the time that we have for our message for today. We only have 30 minutes here on our broadcast, and the message runs longer than that, so we're going to stop it right there and pick this message up in the next broadcast, where you will hear the conclusion of this wonderful message on the Bible character Gideon. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office. The Seabrook Church Office can be reached at this phone number. The phone number is 301-577-6342. I'm going to repeat that for you. The Seabrook Church Office, phone number 301-577-6342. That's where you'll be able to obtain an audio copy of today's message, Gideon Part 1. By the way, you will want to, and this is very important, so I shouldn't even say by the way, you will want to refer to program number 255. That's program number 255. And that will give you the correct program for today. Also, if you'd like to obtain more information about the music that you hear on The More Abundant Life, or if you'd like to correspond with us, we invite you to write to us here at P.O. Box 1078. That's Post Office Box 1078. And that's in Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. We are so appreciative to our listeners for their prayers and support and comments, and we just want you to know that. As we conclude our program today, I just want to let you know that God loves every one of us. And as you plan to join us again for another program, I want to wish you God's richest blessings until you can join us again. Remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.